Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest, Dr. Matt Spaulding, with Hillsdale College, and specifically a DC branch. And in fact, they're going to be having some new series of classes and curricula related to government and the art of governing. Dr. Spaulding, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you again, as always.
All right, and just give us a quick overview of this whole new series of classes that you'll be doing in D.C.
Well, you know, Hillsdale itself has been around for a long time, of course, in Michigan. We've been in Washington, D.C., doing programs for our undergraduates since the 1970s. But one of the things we have kind of always had in mind, especially in the last, say, 10 or so years, is actually starting a new program, which we've now just launched, which is a graduate program in Washington, D.C. And it's meant for a couple of reasons. One is it's kind of an expansion to radiate Hillsdale's teaching mission. Right? We are kind of defending Western ideas and teaching about constitutionalism and religious and civil liberty. But we wanted to do it here in Washington, D.C. because of this particular place, the nation's capital, and we wanted to do the thing we do best, which is teaching. And so we've just opened the Stephen Amy Van Andel Graduate School of Government here in Washington, D.C., right on Capitol Hill, which is designed for young professionals working on the Hill, in think tanks, in the administration, in law firms, to give them a master's degree in government to teach them the political thought, the American history, and what we broadly call statecraft, the skills they would need, the knowledge they would need to have to be able to think about the kinds of constitutional questions we're most interested in and statesmanship. There's really no program like that here. We think it's extremely unique, but it's very Hillsdale-like in how it's tied back to our deeper understanding of the liberal arts and Western philosophy, and we're extremely excited about it, and we've just had our first classes.
Well, this is very interesting, and it makes sense, and I think maybe as a starting point, what's the difference between a politician and a statesman?
That's a good question. I'll put it in let's put it in terms of how we think about it today. Today we associate a politician with, someone who's just kind of actively engaged in politics. In office, I suppose, is a formal definition, but just in generally, you know, someone working in Washington, D.C. or a state capital, and they really look at politics more as a transactional thing. And it's about, doing things to get elected, doing things to accumulate power and various chits, doing things to help your friends. It's kind of a profession, in some extent, almost a lowly profession. It's not that something we have to have because that's what we are and we have a representative government. Statesman is a much older idea. It actually goes back to Aristotle, but we, of course, in American history, think of a Lincoln or a George Washington or international affairs like a Churchill or a Margaret Thatcher. It's a different way of thinking about it, which is politics isn't really about immediate questions of power. It's not about these kind of narrow interest in getting reelected, although those are all practical aspects of it. It really is more about how does one act, how does one make decisions, how does one direct political activities for the sake of a larger sense of justice or kind of the ends of the particular regime, say the American regime or the English regime. It's more of a way of thinking, which is largely why we are doing this through a graduate school. It's a way of thinking about how you relate higher principles, the principles of consent, of justice, the rule of law, things we associate, say, with our founding. How do you relate those higher principles with actual political circumstances, the day-to-day circumstances of politics, and the relating those two things together is done through the virtue of prudence. So it's just kind of an older way of thinking about politics. It's I think it's a better way of thinking about politics, especially at a time when I think the reason why a lot of people don't like, they look down on politicians. They don't like Washington, D.C. or what's going on in our politics. The reason is, our sense of what a politician is has become over time increasingly this kind of lowly idea, the base of politics as opposed to the higher and more noble aspects of politics, which is precisely what we want to encourage and form and cultivate.
All right. Now, I happen to know that you personally worked on a book for Heritage Foundation where you used to work in a think tank capacity. But you wrote co-wrote a book on the kind of like a commentary, in effect, on the U.S. Constitution. And I want to ask you about the Constitution because a lot of times, even in law schools where they might – I've talked to people who've actually gone to law school – who had classes on the Constitution and said they never actually opened it up and read the Constitution. They just read judges' decisions about the Constitution.
Right, right.
So how important is the Constitution going to be, in the graduate school program that you're talking about at Hillsdale now in D.C.?
Well, it will just be, front and center, the Constitution and the Declaration, which informs it. But here's a great example, going back to your previous question, right? Most of the time, we think of the Constitution today and law as the areas where judges and lawyers work, right? And most of the law is oriented towards what judges say, what court decisions, the immediate things. In that sense, you think of lawyers and, kind of the way you think about politicians. They're not folks in the highest thing. They're more immediate. What's the most recent decision say? But really, American politics, historically and today, for that matter, by the very design of our system, point back to the beginnings. And the beginnings mean the Declaration of Independence, which kind of is the broader philosophical laying out of what this regime is all about. All men are created equal, endowed with rights about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then the Constitution, which is the form, the three branches of government and how it's going to operate. So that, if you're going to understand the American regime, both historically and today, you've got to know about that thing. How does it work? How is it supposed to operate? What's happened to it today? The rise of administrative government and bureaucracy. How is that a violation of the Constitution? Are most of our laws passed by Congress or bureaucrats nowadays? Is the principle of consent being carried out in the workings of our government? That's what understanding the Constitution means. You're right. It's not about the way most law schools teach it. The way most graduate schools teach it, for that matter, is it's not merely what the current court says or what this judge or that judge said in their decision. That's something you need to know if you're going to be working in that area. I don't mean to diminish it, but I do diminish it in the sense that that's not the center, the thing from which all other ideas radiate. That's the Constitution itself, the history around it. What do they mean by that thing? How is it supposed to work? What are the ideas that really inform? What are the causes, the primary causes and the first principles of the American nation?
I would assume that at this new graduate school in D.C., the Hillsdale, you've had the undergraduate, but now it's going to be graduate school, that there's sort of an underlying assumption or belief, which is an American exceptionalism. And I remember when Barack Obama, a previous president, was asked, do you believe in American exceptionalism? Sure, I believe in American exceptionalism, just like the British believe in British exceptionalism and the Greeks believe in Greek exceptionalism. But there is there is kind of a deeper issue here. Was something really special done 250 or so years ago in the creation of the United States in terms of the consent of the governed? And I think the answer is yes. And in fact, all the whole world has been impacted by the American independence movement.
No, I think that's right. And I think it really does go to the extent to which we don't put actually enough into what we mean by that phrase, right? I mean, President Obama's line that you quoted is really kind of writes off the claim as merely being jingoistic or nationalistic, right? There's American nationalism, there's British nationalism. And to some extent, okay, fine, I understand that, right? Every people sees themselves as being unique and special. And to some extent, that is correct. But the claim here, the argument here, is that what the Americans did, because of a unique situation, given where they were at the time, how they broke away from England, how they developed independently, and how there was kind of these ideas that were percolating around, which they put into their constitution, they did something very different. And we defend it as being exceptional, not because we're Americans ourselves are proud of it because it's ours. Well, that's true, but it really is because it's different and it's exceptional. And it also explains why, I mean, all these other people in the world, they want to come here. They look to this country as someone who represents these ideas. And it has something to do with those ideas in the beginning about consent, about the rule of law, about the notion of equality properly understood, about limits on government and a flourishing of civil society, about religious liberty. Those things are crucial to the very definition of what America is. And I think it's not just that it's American. I think what it is America, by putting those things into its constitution and into its laws, comes to represent those ideas, which are universal for the rest of the world as well. And so that's the way in which America is exceptional, and which means that we Americans need to know those things very well. But in the broader scheme of things, we need to go about a better way to defend those things, how to preserve and perpetuate those ideas, especially at a time when more and more people are either not learning that in school, forgetting about it, don't think it's important, or increasingly it's under attack by those more radical ideas in the academy and the media that want to detract from that. I think we're at a time in our country's history where we really need to get back to those core ideas as a way of informing how we think about our own country, which is what we really want to focus on in this program.
Yeah. Okay, we have about a minute left. I could see how, you know, if this caught on, and especially if some of the young 20-somethings and 30-somethings that go on to serve on Capitol Hill, and then later they may themselves become congresspeople or senators and so forth, if they get, you know, this overall theistic worldview, you know, an American history and so forth, the importance of the Constitution and the Declaration from you all, this could help change the government and country in a very positive way.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, look, we are we like to think of ourselves in the, you know, kind of the changing the world business. The objective here has to be to revive and restore this understanding of things. This is one program in the broader scheme, but it's you know, the current way the way things currently work is not the only alternative, and people have to come to know that. And if it's not the only alternative, we got to think both in terms of its principle and practice. How do we go about bringing something else out, finding another way to restore those principles and self-government and limited government, and how do we get out of this morass? And we want to create a place where people can think about that, where we can get together and focus on that. And we actually do think that thing can be the kernel, the seeds of a larger change in our country, which we need so desperately.
Hmm. Okay, Dr. Matt Spaulding, hillsdale.edu for more information. Thanks so much for being with us, and all the best.
Thanks for being with you. All right.
Okay, bye-bye now.